Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you have to be victory. Jury.
something about that song that just sets my soul on fire. Encouraging yourself, telling yourself that you can push on when the roads get tough. When you think that you just can't make it, you have to encourage yourself and tell yourself that you are more than a conqueror. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, July 8th. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, brought to you by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother, Hakeem Nuba.
Hey, good evening, sir. How are you?
Man, it's a blessing to be here, doctor. It's a true blessing to be here.
Yes, sir. Same here.
And what's up? Yes, sir. It's always good to hear your voice. You know, many people don't know that you are the lifeline to all the shows that that we have on this network. And if you have not heard today, doctor, we appreciate your work.
Thank you so much, and to you as well.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And returning today, amen, one of my friends and brothers, the deacon, Maurice. God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
Amen. Good to have you on. If you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network, but the quickest way is to call the show, 646-787-1798. Again, that is 646-787-1798. Brother Hakeem is manning the phones and the production side, and if you have a word that you would like to speak, or a prayer request, you can press number one and he will put you in a queue. And when the time comes, you will have an opportunity to speak. Amen. I always like to open up our show with a word of prayer, so let's get started. Father God, we just thank you for the blessings that you have given us, Father. From last week until this week, Father, I see those whom I love, those who I know, Father, and those who I and meaning for the first time, Father, in good health and strength. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing. I ask right now, Father God, that you will bless this network, that you will bless this show. Father, whatever we need to do, Father, to put your name out there, we ask that you will give us the spiritual insight to do so. Now, Father God, I ask that you will bless Brother Hakeem, our backbone, Father, that you will bless and keep him, Father. Open up doors and windows, Father, for him. Whatever he asks for in your name, Father, I ask that you would grant it to him right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Father, for our leader of this network, Sister Michelle, that you will touch her, Father, that you will bless her, that you will keep her, that you will continue to bless her, Father, because I already know she's blessed, that you will continue to bless her and that you will keep her, Father, in all the things that she does, Father. Open up business avenues for her, Father. Let her just be just overflowed, Father, with the company of a good company of people, Father, who wants to take her higher. I thank you, Father God, for her life and for her insight and for her giving me the opportunity, Father, to preach your word on this network. Now I ask, Father, that you would bless Brother Deacon Maurice, Father. Continue to keep him wrapped in your arms, Father. He is a teacher among teachers, Father. So I ask that you will continue to bless him and take him higher, higher and higher than he's ever seen before, Father. Let your word fill up his mouth, his mind, his heart. Father, let it just seep from his pores, Father. We just thank you for his life and for his willingness and his obedience. Now, Father, touch me in a mighty way, Father, so that I may be who you have called me to be. I ask that you will bless me, Father, that you will use me, Father, that you will humble me, Father, that you will take me where nobody can take me, Father. I appreciate man's words, Father, but I want to hear from you, Father. I thank you for what you're doing for me. I thank you, Father. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for my life and my strength. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, with everything going on in the world today, it is important to remember that God is your strength. I know that God is my strength. This is why I am excited, happy, and full of joy. I hope that you are too. It is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises. But I love this part. It is my job to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. You know, I thought this week on a testimony. And I thought about what would be a great testimony. And I want to touch on this one thing. Loving yourself. When you think about loving yourself, you think about a lot of different things. Do you know, as a person, you can't love nobody else if you don't first love yourself? As a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, or a wife, spouse, you can't love your wife and your family, your husband and your family, if you do not love yourself. There are times that many of us may feel depressed, frustrated, angry, just tired of the daily toils of everyday life. But I'm here to let you know that everything that you are dealing with is just a test. You must love your life. It is important to love yourself. If you do not love yourself, allow me to be the first to tell you that Jesus loves you. When you find yourself in a predicament where you have to question if you love your life, if you love yourself, I want you to be reminded and remind yourself that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much that he gave up his life for you. The most holy of men became a sinner. He took all the sin of the whole world upon him so that we may have life and life more abundantly. When we think about this, there is no greater love than what Jesus has for us. So I am encouraging somebody today to know that when you feel like you don't love yourself, know that there is somebody that loves you. I have to remind myself that Jesus loves me. There are times that I could be dealing with so much stuff, and I'll find myself in a situation, and I have to remind myself that what Jesus brought me from, I said it this morning. I said last week that when I was in the lion's mouth, ready to be consumed by that lion, that Jesus came in and pulled me out of the lion's mouth and set me straight, cleaned me up, wiped me clean, fixed my hair, amen, and said, I got work for you. When I think about this, I am reminded that regardless to what goes on in my life, that I must first love Jesus because he loved me, and then I must secondly love my life. If you do not know who Jesus is, then today you will learn. You will learn that it is Jesus who can set you free. It is Jesus that released the love. If you have been searching for that special type of love, here it is. And it comes from Jesus. You know what? I'm gonna put it very plain to you. When you have a dog, when that dog is a puppy and up until it's in its adult years, and you'll find that the dog will love you more than anything in this world. That dog will be excited to see you. I don't care if you walk out the door for 2 minutes and you come back in. That dog will always greet you in love. You can whip that dog, beat that dog, not feed that dog, do whatever harsh thing that you can think of to that dog, and that dog will still forgive you. That dog will still come to you and greet you and kiss you in love. Well, just imagine that's how Jesus' love is. We take Jesus into some dirty places. We do some dirty, nasty things to Jesus. We say some things sometimes that's just not right. We do things sometimes that's just not Christian-like. But at the end of the day, Jesus still is just to forgive us and love on us. Unconditional love. So I'm here to let you know that if you have a problem with this life, know that there was a price paid for your head. Know that your life means so much to Jesus. Somebody need to hear that today. It is important that you love yourself before you can love anybody else. Jesus loves you. The meditation for this week is keeping the faith. I would ask that you would find scriptures to support this meditation, and I want you to think to yourself, how does it pertain to your life and your Christian walk? But call in next week and let's have an open discussion about your findings. Well, whatever scriptures that you find dealing with this meditation, I want you to live it this week. Live out the scriptures this week. And I bet you, I promise you, that you would receive a blessing from the Lord. If you give God some of your time, God has a blessing with your name on it. A blessing with your name on it. Yes, you who are listening. There's a blessing waiting for you. We must always keep our faith. Two things. They can't take your faith, and they can't take your education. Remember that. They can have this old life. They can put you in chains and shackle you and oppress you and do all the things that we have experienced as a race, but they cannot take your faith and your education. The scripture will come out of the gospel according to Matthew. Before I read the scripture, let me say one of the listeners that listens to the show contacted me personally and asked me if I would give a message on prayer because they have been battling prayer life. And I am always happy to supply a need to anybody who needs something. And so for that listener that asked me to give a word on prayer, this is not only for you, but for anybody who needs to hear this. The scripture comes out of Matthew 4, beginning with verse 1, and it reads, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by Satan. After fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights, the tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' 'It is written,' Jesus answered, 'Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so you will not strike your foot against a stone. It is also written,' Jesus said, to not put the Lord your God to test.' Again, Satan took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendors. 'All this I will give to you if you bow down and worship me.' Jesus said, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and the angels came and ministered to him." For a subject today, push, pray, until something happens. The gospel according to Matthew depicts a very interesting bout between our Lord Jesus and the Lord of lies, Satan. What I love about this scene is how it played out. I often say that every round goes higher and higher. New levels, new devils. After Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit fell upon him, the word says that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by Satan. If you read the gospel according to Luke, it says that Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights praying and fasting, and after that he expressed that he was hungry. At this time, the enemy pounced, thinking that he would use the things of this world to bring my Jesus down to his knees. Not knowing that my Jesus was already down on his knees praying. In fact, just this scene alone tells me that no matter what I am going through, no matter what I am dealing with, no matter what it seems like, and no matter what is said to me, I have to push until I receive my just reward. In other words, I have to pray until something happens for my breakthrough to manifest itself. Prayer is your single greatest weapon against the ways of this world. Oh, y'all didn't hear that, did you? Let me say that again. Prayer is your single greatest weapon against the ways of this world. Prayer keeps you in line. Prayer keeps you in check. It keeps your mind off the minimal things and places your mind on the things of God. Too many times, we as Christians, we get not because we ask not. Jesus, in the wilderness, sat there and prayed his way through all of Satan's temptations. Satan tried to tempt him with bread. Jesus sat there and spoke and prayed his way through it. He offered him to jump off a ledge, trying to quote back to Jesus' scripture out of Psalm 91, saying that if you are the Son of God, that God will see you, will actually make sure that the angels catch you, that they will protect you, that you don't have to worry because they won't even let you hit your foot up against a stone. Trying to throw scripture back at Jesus, trying to manipulate the situation. That tells you right there that Satan knows the word of God. He knows it, and that means he knows how to try to come at us. Sometimes, y'all, Satan even sits on the front pew, screaming and shouting and hallelujahing the most. But that's another subject, amen. He even tried to offer Jesus, the world, as his playground. That right there touched me. Because why would I serve a God? Why would I pray to a God that can only offer me the things of this world? This world means nothing to me. My God created this world. My God created everything in this world. So when I think about this, I'm reminded that if my God created this world, if my God did everything in this world, if my God is the creator of this world, that means that I will praise the creator and not the creation. He tried to offer him, this world. But Jesus knew that his role in the salvation of man was greater than anything that Satan had to offer. But it wasn't just his sheer willpower that helped him to get through it all. It was in fact that he prayed until something happened. In fact, today, even in our lives, we are tempted on a daily basis. Satan tries to run rampant in our lives, trying to push us further and further away from God's will. But we must pray until something happens. Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, stated, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." If you can agree with my message, then you know what I am saying, that it is the truth. It is essential for God's people to pray, and to pray for that parent that does not have much to feed their children. Pray until something happens. For that father who just got laid off of their job and you do not know how ends are going to meet, pray until something happens. For that child who gets bullied every day in school and you feel like ending your life because you just can't see no way out of this, pray until something happens. For that little girl that is pressured by this world to act as if she doesn't have the home training that her parents gave her, when the world wants you to sell your body and to dress and act like you don't know who Jesus is, pray until something happens. When your husband is acting up, pray. When your wife doesn't understand, pray. When people on your job try to make things hard for you, not knowing that you serve a mighty God, pray. I'm here to let you know that they don't understand when you call on Jesus. You know, the people on your job, they haven't seen something. Matter of fact, you haven't seen someone that can do the hot potato dance until Jesus places a lump of coal under their feet. In fact, they do not know who they are messing with. You are a child of the Most High. You are the light that sits on top of the hill. You are heirs to salvation, an anointed child of the Most High. Now, I'm not telling you to pick fights. But what I am telling you is to hold on. I'm not telling you to brag. I'm not telling you to run. I'm not even telling you to cower. But to pray until something happens. Paul wrote in Colossians 4:2, and it says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. If you pray while going through it, God will cover you to the end of it." I'm here to let you know that it is prayer time. It's time that we look this devil in the face and rebuke his words, rebuke his actions, and rebuke his temptations. We all know that the battle is not ours, that it belongs to the Lord. So why are you trying to fight? Why are you stressing? Instead, I challenge you and I urge you to be like me, as I follow Jesus. You do not worry, but pray until something happens. I'm reminded about the three Jewish boys who was getting ready to be thrown in the furnace. They did not worry, but you know what they did? They sang praises unto God. They knew that even if God did not show up at the moment that they were thrown into the fire, that God would still be God regardless. So So I want to know that if you pray, and if you pray until something happens, there are times that it will not happen when you want it to happen, but I'm saying for you to pray until something happens. Something will happen. There will be a shifting in the atmosphere if you continue to pray your way through the situations that you are going through. In fact, most of the times that we go through something, it's just something that God is trying to get our attention, amen? But when we open up the line of communication with God, we will receive not only the blessing that we're asking for, but we will receive so much more. We will get peace in our life, joy in our life, understanding to God's word. And I'm here to let you know that if you just give God just a little bit of your time, that if you give God just some of, God is asking, God is begging for us to come unto him. Right now, it seems like this world is going to hell in a handbasket, but I'm here to let you know that there is a remnant of us that are praying that God will come in and fix this world, that God will come in and fix our president, that God will come in and fix the economy, that he will fix everything that's going on, all the racial issues, all the social issues. We are praying until something happens. And I'm asking you, are you going to be aboard, are you going to come on aboard with this prayer to pray until something happens? We need to pray until something happens. Satan is tempting our president, those who speak in his ear. Satan is tempting him, tempting the church. Satan is tempting the churches to stay lukewarm. Stay lukewarm. Satan is telling the church and telling people that it's okay for sin to run rampant. That it is okay that we conform to the things of this world, that we align ourselves with the things of this world, that we allow the church to be filled with all type of negativity and craziness. Satan is telling us that it's okay. You have some church leaders that are saying to allow this stuff to happen, that it's okay. Don't hurt nobody's feelings. But I'm here to let you know that my God, my Jesus, his word stands alone. The word offends you, then you need to look at yourself. But I urge you, if you are dealing with it, if you are going through something, if life just seems so out of control, until something happens. God bless you. God keep you. I pray that there's something that was said today will open up a line of communication between you and God. We often hear, oh, talk to him, just talk to him, talk to him. But there's somebody out there that don't know how to talk to God. And if you do not know how to talk to God, I ask that you would pray this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I am a sinner. I ask that you will come into my heart, be the Lord of my life. I believe that you lived, that you died, and that you rose again on that third day. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that you are the Son of God. Come into my heart. I love you. My desire is to be your child. Accept me into your kingdom. I repent of all sins. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer and you sincerely meant it, then Jesus and salvation now belongs to you. If you sincerely meant it. Aren't you glad that salvation now belongs to you? If you meant that in your heart, and if you died this very second after saying that prayer of repentance, if you died this very second, you would go unto heaven. Now that's good news. Good news. I urge you to find a church to dedicate your life, to be baptized, and to live a life worthy of calling yourself a servant of Jesus Christ. Again, may God bless you. I have a question that's coming in from one of our listeners, and it says, how important is it to go to church? Can I have a relationship with God without going to church? Absolutely, you can have a relationship with God without going to church. But it is important for you to go to church. Church is a hospital for sinners and a spiritual empowerment for believers. In order for you to be spiritually empowered to deal with your weekly life, or sometimes we have to go to church two or three times a week in order to deal with the things of this world. This is how you become empowered in order to be able to deal with the things of this world. In fact, it is essential for us to have a relationship with other believers, because then we know that there are those who have dealt with the same things that we are dealing with. If we know that somebody else is dealing with or have dealt with something or have gone through the storm that we are currently going through, then now they know how to pray for us. And as a family, a community of faith, we come together and we pray. So you are prayed for, prayed with, and spiritually empowered to go through your storm. Or simply just to bless the name of the Lord by giving him a tenth of what he's asked, of what you've earned, your tithes, or whatever. And it's not about the preacher taking your money. That's the word. That's the word of the enemy. The church does not survive on water and air. So yes, it is important for you to go to church. It is important. The second question is, where is God in interracial dating and marriage? I say that if two people who come from two different racial backgrounds desire to, and they love each other, and they desire not to live in sin, and they want to marry, and they love God, and they want to get married before God and give them vows unto God, then God bless them. God will bless their union. Let me say this. When we die, now, I don't care if you are a white racist or if you are a black racist. When we die, do you know that when we face Jesus, that he has the ability to come to us in any way, shape, or form? So what would you do if you are a white man and you are racist and Jesus appears to you as a black man? Or what would you do if you are a black racist and you have issues with white people and Jesus appeared to you, as we see him in all these pictures, as a blonde hair, blue eye? What if he came to you that way? What if he tests your spirit that way? Kiss his feet and say, thank you, Lord. So if there are two people who love each other and desire to be married because they do not want to live in sin, then God will bless them. God looks at the heart and not the flesh. So I hope that answers that question. Interracial marriage, it means nothing so long as the marriage is sacred before God. If we sit back and worry about interracial marriage, about marriage, you're missing the point. The point is that you're taking a vow before the Lord, and he loves all of his children the same. Not all black people are bad. Not all white people are bad. God loves us all the same. He loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. I hope that answered the questions. Now it is your time. Brother Akim, do we have anybody on the phone that might want to get a word?
Yeah, I believe we have Brother Darius on the line. Let's bring him in.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Brother Darius.
Good evening. Good evening, Pastor Townsend.
Good evening.
Yes, I heard your sermon, and I want to talk about what our Sunday school class this morning talked about, on about how God called unjust leaders.
Amen.
And we talked about how it relates in the all the events that happen in the world today. It's still it happened in the Bible. That I told him a point that I said God can send you a wake up call when you least expect.
Amen.
That I believe we referred the Bible scripture I think it's in Matthew
mm-hmm.
or I think Luke, but that was a part of our Sunday school lesson today.
Yes, it was, and you know, and it spoke a lot about the way that the Pharisees and the Sadducees put more of a burden on the people instead of a true religious insight. They were, you know, constantly trying to get the people to focus on them and not on what the Word of God said. And if leaders today do that, woe unto them. Woe unto them, truly. Because it is not about us. It's all about God. It's all about God. Thank you, Brother David.
Amen.
That word. Yes, sir.
Yes, I was saying amen to that. And that's what I just want to give our update, what my church did today.
Amen. Amen. Well, may your church be blessed forever and ever, Doctor.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Akim, do we have anybody else on the line?
Well, we have quite a few people on the line tonight. We just need some folks to press the number one. Let us know that they want to have their voices heard, and we'll plug them right in.
Amen. Brother Deacon, you have anything you would like to add, sir? I know you're the strong, silent type, amen, but I love having your backing, brother, but you got a word for us?
I think we may have lost
Dr. Reed. Oh, okay, yeah. You must have lost him. Amen. But if you have a word, amen, this is your time. If you have a word to give.
Hello?
Okay, there you go, Brother Deacon. All right. Yeah, you got a word for us, Doctor?
I was just looking up some of these questions about the Sunday school, too.
Okay. Yeah, it's that Sunday school was actually quite profound. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you think about that Sunday school and you think about when it talks about unjust leaders, you know.
And here go one right here where it says, research and discuss. What can we do to prepare ourselves for ministry?
In order to prepare yourself for ministry, you must first know that you've been called to minister, called to a ministry. If God has called you to a ministry, then after that, then you prepare yourself by praying, fasting, and listening to the word of God, listening to what God would have you to do. I'll give you a brief example. When I was coming up in ministry, my pastor at the time placed me in the Christian Youth Fellowship. And I did it out of obedience, but after a year or so, God told me that that's not where he wanted me to be. And so God told me he wanted me to be over the outreach program. And it was through that outreach program that I was able to bring many to Christ, many from the neighborhoods to Christ. And it was, in fact, one of the blessings that catapulted my ministry to where it is today. So I say that to say that if you are called to a ministry, first listen to the word of God, prepare yourself by praying, fasting, and reading his word, and then from there, talk it over with your spiritual leader, and then God will confirm it with your spiritual leader, and then from there, your spiritual leader will place you. Amen?
Just like he told me, I have a calling on my life too, my pastor.
Amen. Well, you see, Deacon, you're a strong, silent type, but you got a will developing in you. I do feel it. You got something in you that's ready to come out. And once it come out, I think it's gonna hit the world.
Telling out that I'm gonna be preaching because I just wrote out already.
Amen. Amen. Well, I bless your spirit, Doctor, and when your first sermon happens, you let me know, and I'll be there to experience it. Amen. We do have 5 minutes left before the show ends, and I want to know: do you have a prayer request? A word? Now is your time.
We do have a caller. I'm sorry, we do have
Amen.
A caller.
Amen. All right, welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hi, my name is Star Jones, and I've been listening to the show, and I just want to see if you can pray for my mama and her mental illness. I'll show a light.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. What is your mother's name?
Leandra Jones.
Leandra?
Deandra Jones.
Deandra Jones. Father God, we ask that you will touch Sister Deandra Jones, that you will touch her spirit, that you will touch her mind, that you will touch her body. Whatever she's dealing with right now, Father God, whatever Satan is trying to throw at her, whatever torment that he's placing her under, that you would remove it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I dispatch your angels to guard her mind, to guard her body and her soul. Father God, I ask right now that you will wipe clean her house right now, Father God, that you will place angels at every door, every opening, every window, Father God, at her bed, to the feet, to the head, to the left, to the right. Father God, let her ministering angels come in, Father, and speak to her mind and to remove that illness, because we know that it is nothing but an attack from the enemy. So right now, Father God, we bless her mind and her spirit and remove that mental illness and replace it back in the pit of hell where it belongs. In the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Amen. 3 more minutes. Do we have anybody else, Brother Hakim?
No, not at this time. We have a few people who are on the line. If you guys want to get in, now's the time. Just press the number 1. I'll put you right through to the pastor.
Amen.
Don't be shy.
Amen. Yes, indeed. This is your time. We set this time apart for you. Amen. I tell you this, you know, I am just so amazed and happy with what God is doing. This has just been such a blessed week. And I just thank God, man, because I don't know what I would do without him.
All right, I'm so sorry to cut you off, Pastor, but we have a new caller just popped in.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Sister Tremaine Townsend.
Amen. Amen. Welcome.
Thank you. Enjoy the show as always. It's a blessed word that will get me through this week and weeks to come. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, sister. God bless you.
I'd also like to send up a special prayer request for my godmother, Rhonda Jackson.
Amen. Amen. Sister Rhonda Jackson, we pray for you because we know that God is not through with you yet. We ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that he will strengthen you, that he will continue to touch you, that he will continue to lead you and guide you. Listen to the voice of God in all that you do, and he will bring comfort to your spirit, to your body, and to everything around you. Remove any works of the enemy that tries to stop you, tries to tell you to stop. Because we know that God is a healing God. God is a delivering God. But God is a blessing God. And we release blessings upon you right now, from this day forth to every day for the rest of your life. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. As we wind down, I just want to tell you to remember to pray until something happens. This has been a Jubilee Affair on behalf of Deacon Brother Kim, Deacon Maurice. This is Pastor Dante signing off.